the view from her Jerusalem window. Here's Andrea Simontov.
Puts a huge, massive smile on my face when I hear that.
Yeah, not as big as the smile on my face because I'm awake.
Oh, my goodness. I do love speaking to you, and thank you for always making me laugh. Andrea.
Apologize. Wait, first let me apologize publicly. You know what? I had been traveling for about 3.5 weeks and I came back and my house wasn't in good condition. I wasn't in good condition. I said, no, I did my show that morning and on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And anyway, I lied down. I said, oh, I'm going to be speaking with everybody in South Africa. I opened my eyes at like 6:37 o'clock. I freaked out. I said, oh my gosh, I missed them. I missed them. I felt terrible. I got two nasty notes. Okay. And so if Monty's listening, okay, I apologize. Okay.
I like 99%, but you're talking to us. You missed nothing. Is this time change because you're ahead? Is that the issue?
I'm ahead.
Ah.
Right. But I was like a week ahead last week. I mean, I never heard the phone ring. I never heard anything. And, I apologize. I missed you guys.
Oh, I see what you're saying last week. Sorry. You can see where my head's at. Andrea, you are living in an amazing little place at the moment. You have your party central. You're where it's all happening. Tell us what it's like being in Israel and Jerusalem in particular on this wacky period in time.
It is the best. As a matter of fact, I love that you're asking this because last week I would have spoken about it, but I was like a little partied out, jet-lagged and partied out, because this is the time where I say if the secular calendar had holy days, this is the holiest period on the secular calendar. I mean, we go from Holocaust remembrance to Yom HaZikaron, our Memorial Day, which was last week. And again, there's not a family that's not affected. If it hasn't, God forbid, affected you, it's your neighbor, it's your mishpacha. And then we go into this amazing Yom HaAtzma'ut, Independence Day, where we're really standing on the shoulders of those who sacrificed so much. And how do I top it all off? I go to Eurovision tonight.
I mustn't put people in boxes, and if Kathy was here, she'd whop me one, but I didn't see you as a Eurovision participant. I just didn't.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not singing, okay? So that I want to tell you right now, okay? They asked me before, but I said, no, let Netta, let Netta bask a little longer, although she did borrow some of my clothing. Anyway, no, so I am connected through marriage with Shalva, the Association for Mentally and Physically Challenged Children in Israel, and the Shalva Band, which is comprised of so many young people with various disabilities. They made it up to the finals, and there was really a chance that they would have been this year's representatives, but the rehearsals for the final on Motzi Shabbos on Saturday night are late afternoon on Shabbos, and the band decided en masse not to desecrate Shabbos, and God came first, even before Eurovision. So tonight, the Shalva Band will be performing with all these other wacky stars, and my husband and I were invited with a small contingent of Shalva lovers. So we are going tonight, and I'm going to try not to get on the stage. If they drag me up there, what can I say? You know, I'm a giving person.
So, Andrea, so when I first heard about the Shalva Band and not knowing anything about them, I thought there's something a little bit distasteful. We're all going to gawk at people with disabilities, and I had a really uncomfortable feeling. And then I saw them on the Yom HaAtzma'ut ceremony, and they were spectacular. They were just talented, full stop. They might have been disabled. That might have been issues that they'd had to deal with in their lives, but they were outstanding. And what a lesson in overcoming adversity and the odds. I mean, I was really, really, really moved by it.
Right.
So,
the dis in disability, the dis is in small letters. The ability is in capital letters. And absolutely. I sometimes think that perhaps because they're what we call disabled, they have better filters than we do. You know, they're not distracted. They're very focused. When they learn a new song, when they're, you know, their passions are very on the surface. They don't have the ugly, crippling, ironically, the crippling nuances that so many of us, assumedly normal people have. And they're just a delight. They're absolutely delightful. And they wear their fame. They wear it. I mean, you could just, you really quell for them.
No, and so. It was completely humbling. It really, really was. And moving as well. Talk to us about Madonna. She performing? Is she not performing? Have they let her in the hall? Have they not let her in the hall? What's going on?
She is, according to the last report, Madonna just signed the contract. Really, momish. It might have been an hour ago. She held out. I'm not joking. It cost them an additional million and a half shekels to add to her contract, whatever stipulations she had. And she's performing. I don't know if she's performing tonight. She's certainly performing on Motzi Shabbos. But maybe tonight I'll get to see her as well. Listen, it'll be her mazel if she gets to see me.
There you go. So, I agree with you. I'm with you on that.
And, you know, she's 61 years old. She's 61 years old. So I said to your engineer, you know, what I would be speaking about today, you know, is Madonna good for Israel? And I don't know if Madonna is good for Israel, but I know that she's certainly ripe for Israel because a lot of old people around here. So she'll fit right in.
Ow. Andrea, in went the knife and round it turned. I'm just a little bit surprised that it is that money is such a significant part of this negotiation. I would have thought with her Kabbalah leanings and her warmth towards, you know, all things Jewish, I just would have thought money would not have played such a significant part, and clearly I'm wrong.
Well, what should I say? Don't give her my slot on High FM, but you'll have to ask her yourself, you know?
Well, I have to ask her. I got in a lot of trouble on High FM about 3 weeks ago, stating that I thought it was an obscene amount of money for anybody to earn to sing two songs, and I was hauled over the coals thinking, some kind of closet socialist who's against free enterprise. I just kind of
Well, we
can
whisper that together, because I just think that the whole entertainment industry is quite vulgar.
Lost
Very
touch
vulgar.
Somewhere.
So let's talk about Kobe. Let's talk about Kobe, Israel's representative.
Yes, let's do that. What do you think
of
him?
I think he's very talented. I think he's adorable. I think he's passionate. I think he's absolutely an artist. And I think that he's not Eurovision material. You know, there's nothing kitsch about him. He's, what should I say? He's like a combination of Pavarotti, Andrea Bocelli, Robert Goulet. He's just really, he's an artist, but they couldn't have another, forgive me, freak show like Netta this year. So he won. He's really, I wish that he has a marvelous career, that Eurovision doesn't end his career, but will rather either not impede it or launch it. Because this guy really, he's got the goods. He's a good, good guy. And Israelis, forgive me, anybody listening, Israelis love vulgarity. I know it's hard to believe.
No, it's true.
You know, yeah, you know, the glossier, the shinier, the more sparkly. And here this guy comes up. It reminds me of Queen Esther, you know, appearing before Ahasuerus. He didn't even know what to make of her because he was ready for the glitz. And this is like such a non-glitz guy, but what a voice. He can transcend you.
Yeah. I could not disagree with you more on anything than this guy. I can't bear his song. I think it encapsulates 2,000 years of Jewish angst. It's just an angsty song. And secondly, I kind of feel like I'm watching the movie The Grand Hotel Budapest, and he looks like one of the waiters who popped off the movie into the auditorium. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Anyway.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I think the song is a poor choice, but I think they didn't care. I think they found a song that would show his voice, that would hop the Israel moment, because, you know, you're right. Israel can be perceived as kind of bleak, and he does it, but Israel isn't going to win. So I think that he did what was true to his heart, but close your eyes once and listen to his rendition of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Okay.
God didn't dream it like this.
Okay.
But close your eyes, because like his eyes are a little close together. It's like hard to look at this sometimes.
I couldn't agree with you more. There's too many things I need to talk to you about. You've raised too many issues. You mentioned bleak. Bleak is a word used by some Cannes Eurovision, the musical promo for the Eurovision. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a 4-minute clip. It borders on bad taste in the extreme.
Can it have been a spoof? Let me ask you.
That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm asking you.
Because I saw it when it came out. It was sent to me, but I did not see it on any of the names. We won't even repeat what it was. It was so, It was so vulgar. It was so obscene. And on the flip side, I saw some Eurovision promos just today and yesterday. Magnificent. You Google in Eurovision postcards and they're fantastic. That thing was so horrible. Let's not even talk about it. It was
an anti-Semitic caricature in
places.
It
wasn't even a good Israeli joke.
Yeah. I saw a defense of them saying that Israelis like self-deprecating humor and this is the type of humor that Israelis respond to. I just, you know, discussed it with Sasha. None of us found it even remotely funny. So I'm interested to hear that you're on
funny.
The same side as us on this one.
Yeah.
You are a self-admitted, devout woman and you are going to the Eurovision tonight and you might or might not see Hatari who are going to perform in BDSM leathers. How you
right,
deal with this stuff?
Why won't I see? I mean, because I don't know what the lineup is tonight.
Okay, you won't because they were there two nights ago. So, you know, you've got a point.
All right.
But
yeah.
My point is just that
I've seen this stuff. I've seen their postcard. I know their shtick. I just want to know if I'm going to be stepping over BDS protesters on the way in. You know, they snuck in. They came into Israel under the aegis of that they were Eurovision staff, people, fans, whatever. And these are mostly women, which to me is like the ultimate irony. All these women, lambasting Israel, we know what we say, the only democracy in the Middle East. I mean, a place where, first of all, in Tel Aviv, I mean, the gay capital of the world,
sure.
Not the Middle East, the world.
Sure.
And these women are, you know, if they were in any of the countries that they claim to be defending, they would be strung up, they would be mutilated, or they certainly would be silenced. So, you know, we'll see if I'll tell you next week if I have to step over any of them. And that other band, what's the name of that band?
Which one? The Icelandic
the
one. Hatari.
Yeah, I call them Harikari.
Harikari.
Right, Hatari.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harikari. You know what? I mean, this is again self-loathing. Why they were let into the country. Why they were allowed. And because Israel fears that we suck up and we fear of, you know, reproachment. Oh, you're intolerant. You don't let, other voices be heard. I mean, the vulgarity of it all.
What is really interesting, Andrew, is we spoke to somebody a little earlier on who said that they've actually changed their tune. Instead of knocking Israel, they're calling for world peace and brotherly love. So it is interesting that the Eurovision has had a very positive impact on so many people who tend to think of Israel in stereotypes. And one of our listeners, Mervyn, wrote in and said, the Eurovision visitors are seeing the truth in Israel, i.e. different colors, different shapes, different sizes. We are not all one, you know, homogeneous bunch of Ashkenazi men. We're
it is
way,
true.
Way more
it
than
is
that.
True.
So, yeah.
We are a glorious nation, really a potpourri. We are the pride flag in every single way. We're Jewish pride, we're intellectual pride, we're musical pride, we're every kind of pride. It's really a fantastic, crazy, messy, loving country. And, I'm excited for these participants coming. They're not even going to be able to compute what they experience. By the way, this group, Hatari, Harikari, they did their promo up in Caesarea in the old Roman amphitheater, and it was just beautiful. I can't imagine that they can't be spending all the time with these Israelis and be, if there's like any intellectual germ in their brains, not be affected. How much fun Israelis are. Impossible? Yes. Fun, no doubt.
Andrea Simontov, as always, thank you so, so much for making me smile and laugh and have a different insight into that dynamic, wondrous little country, which is Israel. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Amen, amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.